What we do here is go back.
Oh, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Prepare yourself for the clash of punk rock, politics, and your uncensored, unafraid host, Remso W. Martinez. You are about to experience the Remso Republic.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Remso W. Martinez, and you're listening to what I think is your favorite podcast. You know, I'm a little bit self-confident I'm your favorite podcast these days since we started up a couple months ago. As always, I've been thinking a lot. And while everyone's just talking and thinking and talking and thinking about what's going on with this current election and all the other chaos that we're seeing in our country, I've been thinking about this. What comes after 2016? This has been an election that we have never seen before. This has been, you know, a couple years that we just never thought we'd saw coming, where we'd have Trump and Clinton on the top of both major party tickets, where America's confused about what bathroom they want to go into, where people are more curious about who killed Cecil Harambe, the panda, or whatever, when we've got ISIS hacking off people's heads and setting people on fire in the Middle East, and we've got a monetary crisis. There's just been a lot going on, and I'm just worried what happens next. I saw that movie, The Purge Election Year, and frankly, I'm just a little bit paranoid. But there are some things that keep me optimistic. I know we've touched on the convention that happened way back in May, June, a while back, but I keep going back there because what we saw was we saw a bunch of seeds being planted for the future. And while right now that we see this political smokescreen all over the media, I'm just wondering, who are the new movers and shakers entering the liberty movement? Because I saw a lot of people who were going out there and doing amazing things. One of those people I've brought on the show today, she's Melissa Hamilton. She's a pro-life activist, a modern-day Mother Teresa, and she's the chairman of the Pro-Life Libertarian Party Council. Some of you may remember her video she did with Matt Kibbe from Free the People, where she was a proud Tea Party member turned Libertarian Party member. And I want to pick her brain and see what she thinks what's going to go on the next couple of years and onward. So, Marissa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the show.
Not a problem. It's great to have you on. So I first noticed you along with so many other people who were watching that convention when you interviewed Matt Kibbe. You were a Tea Party member turned libertarian. And, you know, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself? How'd you go from being a conservative to being a libertarian?
Sure. Well, I think I've always been libertarian leaning in general, so it wasn't really that big of a jump. I mostly just stuck with the Conservative Party because there was enough folks there that I connected with that I thought that we could continue the movement of moving the Republican Party towards liberty. And so that's why I originally chose that party. As though my philosophy progressed and as I did more research and learned more about history, I became more and more libertarian leaning and less and less conservative, I guess, if you'd call it that. And then when this election came around and I saw what was happening in the primary with Donald Trump and making so much progress and so much headway, it really shook me. It was not something I expected. I guess I probably kept a little closer circles around people that were more Tea Party minded and more libertarian minded in the conservative movement. And I strongly felt we were moving in that direction and making progress. So when I saw what was happening with Trump and I first saw Rand dropped out, then, you know, I was kind of up in the air for a little while. Then Ted Cruz was making some strides and I had enough in common with him. So I started supporting him. And then when Trump took it, I just knew that the Republican Party was not the party that I thought it was and I needed to make a change.
So, as you said, you were kind of disenfranchised with everything. You know, Rand drops out, Ted drops out. How did you end up at the Libertarian Party convention in Orlando? Because to end up there and to, interview with Matt Kibbe and all those things, that's a real push. Because many people were just sitting on their couches saying, I guess I'm going to be a libertarian now. but you wanted to take action, and since then you've taken action. So what actually led you to go to that convention?
Well, you know, I've been wanting to be more involved and more active in politics locally. I was more involved in the pro-life movement, and there was a family I was helping, and so that really took up a lot of my time. So I wasn't in a position where I felt that I could contribute enough locally where I could commit to anything.
Okay.
But there was my local councilman, Bill Gates, I had spoken with him and was looking to maybe serve on the some of the local commissions and boards for the city, but I just never felt like there was the right fit. So and then I also had some health issues, so I had a surgery in February, and I had, right around the time that the convention was coming, I was starting to feel a little bit better. But I saw that having Trump or Hillary as president it's awful for America. It's not just a tragedy or not a setback. Like, this is disaster. This is some all red flags. We need everyone that's libertarian, anyone that cares about the Constitution, all hands on deck to be able to help save the Constitution. Because after having 8 years of Obama, and I mean, really, if you look at what happened with Bush, with the Patriot Act and whatnot, we've had several decades now of our Constitution being trampled on. And I just looked at this election as the final nail in the coffin. So, but I'm also someone that doesn't like to jump into something without knowing what I'm dealing with. So someone had mentioned Austin Peterson, that he was pro-life, and that recommended I should check him out. So I basically stalked his Austin Peterson group. They added me to the group, and I just stayed silent, and I just watched people's comments. Because I had really negative experiences with the Libertarian Party before.
Things can get kind of creepy online.
Yeah, and I had a lot of people. I mean, I ran a pro-life, pro-choice debate page on Facebook for about a year.
Oh my God, those things are vicious.
Oh, they are. And the thing was, is I always thought that it was mostly just like the pro-aborts, the really far left liberals. But then I found that it was libertarians that I was debating with also on that page. And so it painted a bad picture for me and gave me a bad impression. But I never like to make assumptions or make judgments just based on, you know, what you see online. And so, and the friends that were recommending me to check out the Libertarian Party and Austin Peterson were people that I highly respected. So I stalked the group for about a month. I saw that they were fairly normal people. They were people that loved liberty and loved the Constitution. And the other thing that was interesting is I became good friends with some of the anarchists in the group, which I never thought was going to happen, because I always had this picture of them as wanting it to be like Wild Wild West, shut down any type of government, any type of corporation, just end society as we know it. And that's not really what anarchists believe. So
I know some who were kind of like, I saw The Walking Dead, or I saw Demolition Man. I can survive in that. Screw you.
Exactly.
Anarchy doesn't mean no rules. It just means no rulers. But I digress.
So that's what my perception of the Libertarian Party was. I guess you could say I was at a point of desperation, though. I needed to find a group of people I could align with and stand with. And it was pretty abundantly clear that it was not going to be the Republican Party, because I just saw pro-life group after pro-life group supporting Trump. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. He's been pro-life for 5 minutes. And for the last 20 years, he has been adamantly pro-abortion and funding the industry and pretty much best friends with Hillary Clinton. So I guess I was at a point of desperation, and I looked at what Austin Peterson was doing, and I thought, this is probably someone I could stand with, but I wanted to check him out in real life. And I was in the middle of some business trips for work, so it was easy for me to just kind of rearrange my schedule and fly to Orlando for the conference.
That's awesome. But that leads me to another question. So while you do have a small niche of libertarians that are pro-life, and I've always been pro-life, and I've seen this surge primarily with conservatives coming into the party like yourself, but you know, I'm not a fan of the non-aggression principle, but they always say, you know, don't hurt people and don't take their stuff, don't initiate aggression. I believe that life begins at conception. and that when you try and terminate a pregnancy like that, you are killing a life. Now, I was not at the convention, but I was keeping track of the platform changes, and I know that the current libertarian platform that we've had since 1971 has stayed the same. It's the fact that they will not take a stance for either being pro or anti-abortion. But then I think, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, I think the Libertarian Party is still a little bit, you know, fishy on that topic. Because then I'm like, okay, well, you know, if you don't want to take a stance, can we both agree that we should probably defund Planned Parenthood? And then you've got some who are like, oh, well, you know, it still provides those services, and you just don't want me to have an abortion. And then you have others that are like, the government shouldn't be funding it.
Like Gary Johnson?
Yeah, like, I think they do great things, and let's just give them more. Okay, be quiet. Let's just give them more money. Next topic.
Yeah. So this is actually something that I have a problem with all the candidates that are running at the moment, because even Trump wants to increase funding for Planned Parenthood. So when I was at – this was one thing I wanted to look at the convention, because, you know, when I signed up for the Libertarian Party, I read the membership oath that you need to take, which is, yes, sign me up as a member of the Libertarian Party to validate my membership. I certify that I oppose the initiation of force to achieve political or social goals. So I was like, this is perfect. This totally fits in with a pro-life viewpoint, because abortion is ultimately the initiation of force on someone that's completely innocent. And then I looked at the abortion plank and I saw that it was really just kind of, I don't even know why it's there. It doesn't take a side, and it doesn't serve any purpose, in my opinion. So I did start speaking to people while I was at the Austin Peterson table volunteering there, because we had several women come up to us that were pro-choice that kept saying, we want to support you, but you're pro-life, so we can't. And it brought up some very interesting conversations. So I spoke to two ladies in particular. I don't remember their names or anything, but they were delegates, and they said, we want to vote for you, but you're pro-life, so we can't. We think that it's women's right to choose. Coincidentally, they're also anti-gun. Yeah. And they
did they know what convention they were at?
Well, I think they might have been a couple of the people that Gary Johnson flew in. So I don't know if they were really libertarians or not. But yeah. So anyways, I reasoned with them on both points. And, you know, when it came down to it, I said, you know, I err on the side of life in both situations. So as a woman, I look at self-defense as something that's important. It's part of the Constitution. And I say, what is the only thing that's going to be able that will allow me to compete with a man when it comes to strength if I'm in a dangerous situation and I'm being attacked? And that's a gun. Learning how to use a weapon, that's the best way to defend myself. And so I could get them from a perspective of domestic violence or violence against women to look at the gun stance from a pro-life perspective, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Marissa, this conversation's going to continue because I do have some questions continuing on with our pro-life conversation, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remso Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a minute.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remso Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
For years, the Republican and Democrat parties have used social issues and crises to keep us at odds with one another. They've divided us into groups and pit each group against the other, while those in government have together collaborated to strip us of our liberty little by little. In 2009, I decided to do something about it, and the Rupert for Senate campaign was born. Government of, by, and for the people requires our participation, not as voters, but as leaders and decision makers. But the parties have made it all but impossible for real, ordinary Americans to do so. So this average American has, since 2009, worked to give the voters, at least of Ohio, a choice outside the parties. The message is simple. The Constitution protects every American equally, but it's powerless to protect itself. That's our job, and it's time we take it seriously. You can learn more about my campaign at scottrupert.com. I'm Scott Rupert, independent candidate for Ohio's U.S. Senate, and I approve of this message.
So people often ask me what podcasts I listen to. You know, when I'm not listening to old episodes of my own, that is. There are many great out there. There are some that are entertaining, funny. You learn from them. They just give you a great insight you're not going to hear anywhere else. But there's one show that really comes to mind when I think of where to get your starting ground and understanding what open minds and open markets mean. It's actually the show that I listened to when I first started learning about libertarianism. It's the Lions of Liberty podcast with its host, Mark Clare. Mark and his team do excellent things, from libertarians in a living room drinking liquor to Felony Fridays. They have a great list of just amazing interviews, talking to the movers and shakers in the liberty movement. And let me tell you, if you want to get your friends who are a little apolitical, or they're a little liberal or a little conservative, but they like the ideas of liberty, Mark Clare will give it to you at the Lions of Liberty. So go ahead, check them out on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes today, and check it out for yourself. I guarantee you will not regret it.
Check it out today at www.lionsofliberty.com.
Folks, welcome back to the show. So, Marissa, we've been talking about the abortion stance of the Libertarian Party, and I'm just curious because this is something that I think we're going to have to find an answer to relatively soon, because when you take a neutral stance, you're not saying that you're for or against one or the other. You're not saying that you just don't want to talk about it. You're basically, in my view, you're not courageous enough to actually take a stand. And with the Libertarian Party, we have people that, you know, they come across all stripes. We're a big tent party, so I understand that we're not going to get a general consensus. But here's my biggest question, and I think Austin Peterson discussed this enough at the debates. I think if maybe more libertarians understood this, and, you know, you were there, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but even though he was pro-life, even though Gary Johnson, John McAfee, Daryl Perry, you know, the late Dr. Feldman, even though the rest of them were pro-choice, would any of them actually done anything to make abortion either illegal or more accessible? Because even though they could be philosophically one or the other, if, let's say, they ever got elected to the White House, would it have actually made a change?
So when it comes, I can speak more so, well, actually, I could probably speak to more to both Austin Peterson and Gary Johnson. So Austin Peterson's position was that he wouldn't push for pro-life legislation necessarily. He would seek to do things more like defund Planned Parenthood and increase access to birth control. And that, to him, those are more free market solutions to limit or end abortion. And then also then to eventually leave it to the states. Now, Gary Johnson, on the other hand, I'm not exactly sure completely what his stance is, because when I did research on him, it said that he was pro-life personally, but pro-choice publicly, meaning that he doesn't think that he should choose abortion for other people, and neither should the government. But that if there was a story that if his daughter ended up getting pregnant, he would advise her to have the baby and not have an abortion. I actually think that Gary Johnson still would be in a position, if he won the presidency, to help the pro-life movement. And the reason for that is a couple of things. One, he is against Roe versus Wade. He thinks that it should be a states' right issue. So he said if he had the opportunity to reverse it, he would. That's pretty huge. Now, would that opportunity come up? Have no idea. I guess it would depend on how the elections for the Congress goes. The one thing, though, that he did say was that he wouldn't necessarily reduce funding for Planned Parenthood because it's primarily based on Medicaid, which is partially true. They get a lot of funding outside of Medicaid. So to me, the biggest thing that needs to happen is Planned Parenthood needs to be defunded. That organization has proven time and again that they love to break federal laws. They have gotten caught fabricating their numbers to be able to boost their Medicaid funding, among all sorts of other tragic things, selling baby parts and whatnot. So if we could just get Congress and to defund Planned Parenthood, I think that would go a long way. If it came to actually reversing Roe versus Wade, I think that would be great too. But I still don't think that's a solution. I think we need to create a culture of life within our nation. I think a lot of the problems that we see today, you know, the issues that we have coming up recently with cops killing people that seem to be innocent and whatnot, I think all of these problems stem from having a lack of a culture of life.
I agree. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so I think that's really the most important thing that I'd like to see a candidate do.
Same. I know for me, I'm glad you bring up a culture of life. I've been thinking about that movie, The Purge, a lot lately. And I don't know if you've seen any of the films, have you?
No, I haven't.
You're not missing out. It's, you know, I'll be honest, it's more of a guy's film, probably, because it's just a lot of nonsensical violence and gore, and it's, you know, it's not something that you necessarily want to go take your family to. But just to kind of give you an idea, it's basically a world where once a year the government allows people for 12 hours to go rape, murder, and pillage and destroy anything they want, and there's no repercussions as long as you do it within that 12-hour block. And in this film, you just see regular people take advantage of this night, and they go kill their neighbors and everything else. I mean, you just see an absolute dehumanized society. And, you know, you brought up the violence with law enforcement. You bring up a lot of this, the nonsense and crazy monstrosities we see in our own country. And I think the culture of life extends to much more than simply wanting to not have an abortion or not execute people or not kill people, but it's the fact that we are refusing to see people as people. I think Absolutely. A culture of life extends to people of different religions and different races. And I'm glad that, you know, you're a pro-life activist in this, because something that I've had a problem with is for the libertarians that are kind of on the fence about this. The biggest thing is, well, what about a rape exception? And a lot of people, that gets really tricky.
Yeah, and rape exception is actually one of the biggest fallacies I find. So I actually did research on this myself, and I might botch up these statistics, but there was a study that was done a few years ago. It actually might have been a decade or so ago, where they did analysis based on rape victims that became pregnant and what their choices were. And they found that around 70% of rape victims actually choose to birth their children. Not all of them choose to parent their children, but they do choose to give birth. And the rapists or the rape victims that that decided to give birth, they reported back that they found that giving birth actually helped to in a way heal them from the trauma that they had been through from the rape. And the reason for that is because they looked at their baby as a victim also. That baby didn't choose to come into existence, and they didn't choose for the baby to come into existence. So they looked at the baby as another victim, and that at least they could give the baby a chance to have life. So at least something good could come out of the trauma and tragedy that happened to them. And they just found it to be more healing. Now, the interesting thing is, of the women that chose to have abortions, they actually reported back that the abortion created more trauma than the rape itself.
Yeah, and I bring this up specifically because, as I mentioned, we have a problem with preaching a consistent society that values life. And I talked about the different, you know, sections of people we have in our society. And I just think that, you know, not just rape victims, but people who are born as a result of rape are often seen as second-class people.
Yeah, absolutely. I even see it as a problem within the pro-life movement itself. There's a lot of people that are pro-life with exceptions. Well, what does that mean? That means that one human is still worth more value than another human, and that's wrong. You either believe that life starts at conception or you don't. Any belief that's based on life starts at when a heartbeat starts, life starts at when there's brain waves that you can distinguish. Anything that moves the marker is then a subjective opinion of when life begins. And I personally think that as a society, we should use science and facts to determine when the beginning of life is. And I also think that we should look to documents like the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution that determine that all people are created equal. And so when it comes to someone that's conceived in rape, they have just as much of a right to live as anyone else. And I personally, when I made my decision as to where my stance was going to be, I just listened to rape victims. You know, there's hundreds of girls that I counseled or were involved in groups that were counseling that were victims of rape. And the thing that I found is they chose life at a higher percentage than women that choose abortion for simply birth control reasons. And I had to question that. Why would this small group of people that, you know, because the amount of women that are raped and become pregnant, the statistics show that it's like less than 1% of all women that have abortions. Why would these group of women decide that to give birth to their children and think that it's important and that it's a noble cause to do this, even though it means for 9 months they're going to have to be pregnant and that they're going to have to go through, you know, all the inconvenience of being pregnant, of something that they didn't choose, of someone that they say, well, when the baby's born, he's going to look like your rapist. And that's not what happens. That's such a huge lie. And you can look at, you know, a recent example of this poor girl in Alabama. She's 14 years old. She was raped. She was raped by someone from church. It was a brutal situation. And she begged her grandparents to be able to give life to her child. And making that choice was something that was just a no-brainer for her. She could not imagine at 14 years old destroying the life within her room. She felt that there was life in her and that hurting that child would be worse than the rape that happened to her.
Marissa, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break before our last segment. Folks, once again, you're listening to the REMSA Republic. Hang on tight and we'll be back in a moment.
REMSO in the mix.
What's our problem with messaging the ideas of liberty? Is it the ideas? Is it the people? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's the fact that we're just not doing it in a smart type of way. This is where the Libertarian Youth Caucus comes in. The Libertarian Youth Caucus represents the millennial wing of the Libertarian Party. They're trying to expand the party base while finding new ways to communicate simple, timeless principles such as open minds and free markets. What we need to know is how to find the next generation of voters and make them vote for liberty. We can have a smaller government and a freer economy in our lifetime. And I believe that if we want to help invest in the Libertarian Party, the best way to do so is with the Libertarian Youth Caucus. Learn more about them today at lyc.silkstart.com. That's lyc.silkstart.com.
This message is approved by the Libertarian Youth Caucus.
Folks, welcome back. So this has been a topic that I'm not going to say I've wanted to avoid, but I'm glad that I'm finally, you know, I'm finally discussing it with an expert. And as we've discussed what a pro-life ethic is, what we've discussed in terms of, you know, how we see people as human beings, the thing that bugs me, and, you know, you mentioned science, where does life start? Where is life conceived? My biggest worry is this. It can start at the very second of conception. It could start 2 weeks later. It could start during whenever. It could start the day before you give birth. People will always try and justify a different thing. But I think the easiest answer is this. And, you know, agree with me, disagree with me, jump in. But, we, you know, many libertarians, many conservatives, they say, well, you know, just the first couple of days, the first couple of weeks, it's just a clump of cells. It's just a clump of cells. It's nothing. And as they try and dehumanize the fetus, because that clump of cells is going to become a person, you have to understand not what it is now, but what it is transitioning to. As they say, you know, it's just a clump of cells. I think of all the other things we've tried to dehumanize. I think of Nazi Germany. The Jew is not a human. I think of our own country, the Dred Scott decision. The black is not a person. The Negro is not a person. I think even now we still try and dehumanize people, whether they're people who were born of rape or they're people that haven't even been born yet. I mean, where do you jump in on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could even make the argument that we dehumanize immigrants in this election. I find that politicians like to dehumanize people to move their targets forward, whatever their goals are. And they like to throw out these random attacks against people. I think that we should just look to science. I like to keep it simple. Technically, I mean, I've seen people make the argument that everyone is a clump of cells. You know, just because I'm an adult doesn't mean that I'm not a clump of cells. So what line do you make to say this is a clump of cells versus this is a person? You have advocates when it comes to welfare situations. You know, Margaret Sanger, for example, the founder of Planned Parenthood, said that we should eliminate all poor people, that poor people and black people. And
oh, like the movie The Purge.
Yeah. Margaret Sanger said that describe poor people and people of other ethnicities other than white as weeds. And she was talking about grown people. I mean, she actually, if you look in history, she actually created a mini concentration camp in America and started kidnapping these people and having them sterilized. What? And that was her solution. Yeah. She had a hospital created in New York also where they started kidnapping orphans, black orphans, and then doing scientific experiments on them like what Dr. Mengele did.
Oh my
and this was
God.
The foundation of Planned Parenthood. Still to this day, Planned Parenthood will accept donations specifically to abort black and Hispanic babies. And they purposely target the locations that they put their facilities in high minority communities. So to say that it's just that a baby is just a clump of cells is basically to agree with all of these people that you can take any human you want and just dehumanize them, and now they no longer have the right to life. And so if you're going to do that at the point of any time after the point of conception, then that means you can do it at any point, even after birth. And you saw that with President Obama. It was what, 3 or 4 times that he would not vote against supporting babies that survived abortion. He thinks that when babies survive abortion, they should be left for dead. And so at that point you have a born baby and liberals still don't think you should support life. So as soon as you start making the arguments of clumps of cells or life doesn't start until a certain point after conception, you are making an argument that the government can make an arbitrary line at any point in time and kill anyone they want.
You just reminded me. I had a discussion. I try not to bring up abortion around Democrats because, you know, then they start going red at the eyes and they foam at the mouth and they just want to have an abortion right in front of you just to spite you. But
essentially.
Yeah. This woman I was speaking to, I looked at her and the conversation just wasn't going anywhere. And I basically looked her flat in the eyes. There was a little pause there. And I was like, think of the hundreds of gay, black, female, Muslim fetuses that were just aborted right now. Are you still a social justice warrior?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is that within the black community, if you look at what the population was of the African-American community at the time that slavery became illegal, and you look at the percentage of the population now, you can see that Margaret Sanger did a really good job of her goal of limiting the percentage of population of black people in America. And it's such a travesty. Black women abort their babies at a higher rate than any other race in this country. And so to me, the liberal community has just essentially just demolished, this segment in America. And it's an important segment. It's a segment that's a group of people that have added so much value to our country. They've added so much culture. And to say that you can just take an entire group of people because whatever, some person decided that they're weeds, as Margaret Sanger called them, so you should just abort them, I just find it disgusting. And I think as libertarians, we need to honestly take a close look at our position and our stance and eliminate the hypocrisy. And that's the reason why, even though there are a large amount of libertarians that are pro-choice, that I decided to be a libertarian, because what our principles are, we say we're a party of principle, and what our principles are is to side on life. And so I don't think it's really that big of a jump to reason within the libertarian movement that the party should become pro-life. And I think that there's plenty of arguments to make for that that are reasonable. And I also think that largely, in talking to people at the convention, that the party actually is largely pro-life. It's just that the pro-choicers have been so loud that they have silenced the pro-lifers within the movement. In Arizona specifically, in the Arizona Libertarian Facebook group, they specifically called out and said that if pro-lifers want to become part of the Libertarian Party of Arizona, you can obviously join, but you're not going to be able to participate in anything. They will make sure that they stop you from participating. And I don't find that to be a very libertarian position.
That's kind of fascist in a sense.
Absolutely. It totally is fascist. And so when I looked at that and I looked at what the experience I had at the convention, and I saw that there are a ton of pro-lifers in the Libertarian Party, and that our entire platform is really based on siding on life, I saw that there is opportunity here. And so that's why we started the Pro-Life Libertarian Party Council, because the party should be pro-life. To be anything else is a complete hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, we call ourselves the party of equality in the true sense of the word equality. But if you're going to say you're pro-choice, the first thing that I want you to – if you're a pro-choice libertarian, pro-choice whatever, and you stick by it and we haven't been able to convince you any other way at this point, I want you to publicly send me an email or make a videotape of it. Actually, you know what? Call me. Call me and I'm going to record the call. So understand, if you call me, I'm going to record the call. I want you to say, I'm pro-choice. Some people matter more than others. Not all people are equal. Not all humans are actually human beings. Because then at least you're being honest. I'll have some respect for you. I'll have some respect for you if you're honest.
Yeah. Also, they're welcome to come on my page, because if anyone goes and looks at some past posts, you can become famous if you're pro-choice and you come to our page. I will screenshot your ignorant statements, and then
perfect.
I will attach common sense, scientific, or fact-based arguments and make it into a meme.
That's perfect. So, Marissa, if people want to get in contact with you, follow you and everything you do, and get in contact with the Pro-Life Libertarian Party Council, how can they do so?
So the best thing is just go on our page. It's PLLPC on Facebook. We haven't gotten a Twitter account yet, but probably by the time this airs, we will.
Did you get rid of the picture of the baby above the torch on fire?
We did. We did get rid of that. And it's kind of funny because of the fact that when we were discussing the idea, we were looking at it as life over liberty. Because in the Declaration of Independence, life is the first stated right. So we looked at it as life over liberty. And when we looked at it, we weren't looking at it from colors or anything like that. So then we applied the libertarian colors and we were like, oh no, this looks like a baby's on fire. So we quickly changed it and started looking at other options. And then I actually remembered Karen at the convention. She's the lady with the pink hair and had the Liberty crown on. And I thought, let's do the Statue of Liberty. And the Statue of Liberty had a baby, and that baby is Baby Liberty. So that is our new logo.
That is perfect. That is perfect. So, Marissa Hamilton, it's been a blast having you on the show. I don't say this often, but I actually learned a lot more than I thought I was going to from this. I thought I was pretty savvy when it came to the abortion issue and the pro-life movement, but I'm glad that I had you on to teach me, and hopefully our viewers at home learned something. So,
thank you a lot. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Not a problem. So, folks, as always, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and find me on Twitter. I'm at Remso101. And you can always find me on Facebook, where I live most of the time. It's Remso Republic with Remso W. Martinez. You can find me on there. As always, tune in next week at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, yeah. Screw the FCC. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?